8:51 at the Big 550 KTRS. Paul Harris filling in from McGraw. Kelly's here with me, and Tim Caulfield is on our guest line. Tim is a professor at the University of Alberta who wrote a terrific book called Is Gwyneth Paltrow Wrong About Everything? I had him on the show a few months ago to talk about that, and then when I saw the story this week about the World Health Organization saying bacon and a lot of red meat, frankly, count as carcinogens. In other words, they can cause cancer. I said, let's get Tim on the phone and find out the truth. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
So nobody ever looked at bacon as health food. I'm going to go on the all-bacon diet. But now we're being told it causes cancer. True or false?
Well, yeah, I think you're right. No one eats bacon because they think it's good for them, right? I think it's viewed as a treat. So look, the WHO analyzed all the available evidence. And they came to the conclusion that there's likely a link, there's a strong link between the consumption of processed meat and cancer. So they did, you know, it's a pretty serious message, but we got to keep it in perspective, right? We can't mix up relative risk and absolute risk. So they came to the conclusion that if you eat about 50 grams, that's 2 ounces for the U.S. people, it's a day, it increases your risk by about 18%, which sounds really grim, right? 18% increase, but you got that's 18% over the existing risk that you have, which is about 4%. So about 4% of people will be diagnosed with colorectal cancer in their lifetime. So it's 18% of 4%, if you follow that. So
no.
About five and a bit percent.
So
that makes sense to the world?
Okay. So eating bacon has increased your chance of getting that kind of cancer from 4% to 5.5%, not from 4% to 75%.
That's right. And you have to remember, you have to look at that against all the background noise of risks in your life.
Yeah.
You know, for me, the message is the same one that everyone says, it's about moderation. And I think the message, the takeaway should be, look, maybe I shouldn't eat, you know, bacon every day. I shouldn't eat processed meat every day. It should be a treat.
But if you're having it every week or even every 2 weeks?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely fine. You know, I think that the people from WHO would agree with that. It's really about moderation. But you know, the real challenge, Paul, is that, you know, people read these headlines and they may moderate their behavior a little bit for a little while, but, you know, it's so hard to change human behavior anyway. So I think we should just try to keep this in the back of our mind the next time we're choosing our meat.
But, Tim, this is why I called you, because you all often offer a great perspective on things like this. And I would correct you. I would say it's not about moderation. It's about communication. Because the WHO puts this statement out, and the headline then is, stop eating bacon or you're going to get cancer.
Yeah, you're right. And this is, of course, as you know, Paul, the stuff, why I'm so fascinated in this topic. It's all about science communication. The headlines were nuts, you know, like, oh, my God, bacon causes cancer. And that was definitely, you know, was a bad couple days for bacon.
Yeah.
But bacon's rebounded with a little bit of common sense. Bacon's got a good publicist, I guess, and we're starting to see that all over the place. Well, you know, calm down. This isn't really about, you know, bacon being like cigarettes or bacon being like asbestos. It's the whole thing of processed meat, you know, not being great for you.
Now, what about just red meat? If somebody likes to have a burger for lunch a couple of times a week or occasionally go out for a steak, does that fall in the same category?
So that's a good question. So the WHO also made a comment about red meat, and it was a little less alarmist. You know, that was probably causes cancer. It wasn't placed in the same category as bacon. And it's about, I think it's, you know, 4 ounces a day kind of thing. If you eat 4 ounces a day, it probably increases your risk around the same amount. But it's a probably. You know, the data is going back and forth on red meat, as you probably know. And I know this is frustrating for people. You know, it's frustrating for the people like me who follow the research really closely. You know, red wine's good for you, red wine's bad for you,
yeah.
Coffee's good for you, coffee's bad for you. But, you know, as I always say, it's really tough to do nutrition research. You know, you get these huge data sets, these huge number of people you follow, and you've got to control for all the variables. It's really, really hard. And a lot of these studies are what are called association studies. So they're not measuring the direct effect. They're just saying if you eat red meat, it's associated. You know, people who eat red meat are more likely to get a certain kind of cancer. But maybe people who eat red meat a lot, you know, do other things in their lives that help, you know, lead to to cancer. So it's really hard to tease all that out. Bottom line, again, you know, moderation. That's
yeah,
it.
But, you know, but I just want to add one thing more about the communication. About a dozen years ago, I was having really, really bad headaches. And I went to my doctor and he said, okay, it's probably migraines, but we should probably do some tests. And I said, like what? And he said, well, I'd like you to have an MRI so we can rule out a brain tumor. And I said, don't say those words to a patient, rule out a brain tumor. I don't know. That's all I'm going to be thinking about is I have a brain tumor. Don't say that. And to me, it's the same thing with this. Don't use the C word so cavalierly. Throw it around. Oh, you eat red meat, you're going to get cancer. That's the message we got. That's all we're thinking now.
Yeah, that was clearly the headline. And of course, the other important aspect of the story is, you know, when you're the WHO, you're looking at the population, right? You know, you're not looking at the individual. And at a population level, you can start to see patterns. But the impact it has on the individual day-to-day risk is much more minimal.
And I think it also has kind of in a way, kind of backfires because people hear all these studies, and you kind of touched upon this, and people are going to say, well, you're going to die of something anyway, and they really won't change their habits.
Yeah, you're right, and there's actually research to back that up, that if you have all these conflicting messages, you send all these conflicting messages to people, you know, they kind of start to tune it out. You know, and they don't make healthy lifestyle choices because they go, well, you know, why should I bother? You guys don't know what you're talking about anyway. So I think it is problematic on a bigger level, like you said, Paul. It really, you know, it really is an important communication lesson that we can learn from stuff like this.
Yeah. So be careful when you hear these messages, and be really careful when you hear Gwyneth Paltrow say anything. I haven't heard her chime in on this, but I'm sure she would tell you, women, when you hear this, you need to steam your genitalia. That's her advice for everything. And you should pick up Tim's book about that.
I don't know. Farm fresh, organic, gluten-free
right.
bacon.
Right, yeah.
That's okay.
There you go. Tim Caulfield is a professor of law and health policy at the University of Alberta, and his book is a fantastic read. I mean, there are parts of it that are laugh-out-loud funny, and there are other parts of it that make you go, what is wrong with this woman? It's called, Is Gwyneth Paltrow Wrong About Everything? Tim, thanks for coming back on the show today.
Thanks a lot, Paul and Kelly.
I'm Paul Harris. This is McGraw Live in the Morning on the Big 550 KTRS and worldwide via that free app on your smartphone, KTRS.com.